All right, Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and today we'll begin reading at verse 22. We'll go down to verse 30. This will be our text this evening. Acts 22, verse 22. They gave him, meaning Paul, audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free born. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. So, in this passage, and if I were to put a title on this, I suppose I would call this the results of Paul's testimony before the Jews. As you remember, he had arrived in Jerusalem. The Jews basically had gotten him. It was like a mob. They'd gotten him, they'd taken him, they were about to kill him. And the Roman soldiers intervened and got him and gave him opportunity to speak at his request. And so he addressed the Jewish mob. And so that's what we were looking at the last couple of sermons there. As we looked at his testimony before the Jews there. But now he's finished speaking. And we see what kind of a man that Paul was. Because back there in verse 2, when he began to speak, it says and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept no more silence. So he commanded respect. The people listened when he spoke. Even though they had a desire to kill him, when he spoke in Hebrew, they listened. And all the way down at the end of this, in verse 22, they gave him audience unto his word. They listened to what he had to say. The entirety of his speech, they listened, even though they didn't agree with it. Obviously, at the beginning, they had wanted him dead, and at the end of it, they obviously wanted him dead. They still were quiet while he spoke. That's the kind of man that Paul was. You read some of these accounts in the scriptures, and you think, what kind of a man was was Paul? What kind of a man was Peter? What kind of a man was John? Sometimes you can pick up on some of these clues as you read along. I imagine that Paul had a very commanding presence among the people when he was around them and when he spoke. They gave him audience, meaning that they listened. They listened to what he had to say. But just because someone's listening does not mean that they like what is being told. And after being in the ministry, after being preaching for some 27 years, I know this to be a fact. There are some people who like, yea, even love to hear the preaching of God's Word. There are some people who enjoy being around the sound of the preaching of God's Word, but there are others who do not like it. There are folks who even despise it. And while I've never gotten a response quite like what Paul got that day, the fact is that there are people who wish that Christians would just shut up and even die rather than to hear us speak. God has blessed this country for many, many years, such that I believe His restraining hand has been upon us in such a way that we have never felt this type of response here in this place. But there have been times where men have gotten beat up, shot at, or whatever, even here in this country, and even recently. It wasn't that long ago that there was a man who was street preaching in Arizona, and he got shot at. And thankfully, from last I heard, he wasn't killed. But those sort of things do happen sometimes. Why is that? Well, because people do not like the message of the cross. They do not like the message of Jesus Christ. They didn't like Jesus, and so they're not going to like the people who preach the truth. And so these people, they wanted to kill him. And so they said it is not fit that he should live. And so look what happens there in verse 23. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, what a sight that was. People were yelling. They were casting off their garments, tossing dust in the air. I mean, this was their reaction. We would like to think that when we preach, when we go in and tell people about the Lord, when we're showing them the things of the Scriptures, we would like to think that everyone will come up and thank us for telling them the truth, but that's not the way it is. So just realize that the more that you share the truth of God's Word, and realize we can do that in such a way. And if you go back and you look at what Paul said to these people, he wasn't mean about it. He wasn't angry about any of it. He essentially just told what he told his life story. He told what Jesus had done for him. That's what got them upset. Sometimes you can be as nice as you can be with people, as gentle as you can be. And we should. We should be gentle. We should be nice as we tell people the truth. But it shouldn't surprise us. Jesus himself warned that this is the way it would be. Over in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 10, he says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So Jesus warned them that this was coming, that the people would reject their message to persecute them and revile them and say all sorts of evil against them falsely for my sake, for Jesus' sake. He says to them, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad when that happens, because great is your reward in heaven. They persecuted the prophets in the same way who were before you." And so he's told them, Paul told these Jews, his countrymen, his story, his life story, and how that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and how that Jesus had saved him, and all the things that had happened there. And this was the response that he got. They're all bent out of shape, they're all upset, and they're all wishing that he were dead. "It's not fit for you to live, Paul." They cried out, "Away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live." They cry out. They're casting off their clothes. They threw dust in the air. We read that and we say, "What are these crazy people doing?" Well, I'll tell you what they were doing. We get a big clue from it. They were preparing to act out what they wished. If you go back to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Verses 57 through 58. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. But watch this. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. You see their behavior? They were angry. They were crying out. They cast their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Before Paul had been saved, he had been witness to this thing. And here he was about to be on the receiving end of it. As these angry Jews, even though the Roman soldiers were there, They cried out, cast off their clothes, threw dust in the air. It's very similar behavior to what had happened there with the stoning of Stephen. But in verse 24 of Acts 22, it says, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Once again, Paul's life is spared by the wicked Roman soldiers. You and I, we don't understand how things work in life. But God works all these things out. From a human standpoint, had the Roman soldiers not been there, Paul would have been killed by these angry Jewish mob. And you understand that through history, and even in our own country, we've seen the freedoms that we have being protected by men that otherwise you wouldn't think. Like, go back and read some of the protections that, like with Thomas Jefferson. And even in recent times, President Trump and some of those things, with the appointment of the right justices being put in place and Roe v. Wade being overturned and some of those things that have happened. You and I, we just don't understand these things. But God puts, and indeed, He sets up rulers and He does things in ways that we don't understand. But what we find out here is that Paul is pulled out from out of this angry mob, and this commander, he's kind of confused, okay? And his reasoning for this, why he pulls him out of there, wasn't really to save Paul's life, but he's trying to figure out this whole mess. So the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, or the barracks there, and bade that he should be examined by scourging. So he's going to be examined, checked out by whipping. Now, the way that they whipped these guys was not just a piece of leather. That would be bad enough. But they would take and they would take a whip, and they would take some sharp bone or fragment on the end, and it was designed to tear the skin. Inquisitors would do this sort of thing. They would use this as kind of a way of examining someone. History records that through this process, the design of it was to tear the skin, but through the scourge alone, this was enough to kill many prisoners due to the massive blood loss, the pain, and subsequent infection it caused. It was a form of torture. You're taken in, you're accused of some crime. You say, well, let's see if you're telling the truth. So they begin to whip you with this thing until they get a confession out of you or whatever. Remember, this guy, he originally has him kind of confused with an Egyptian. That had been around. If you go back to chapter 21 and verse 38, he said, art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? So in this guy's mind, he thinks maybe this is who it is. But he's not real sure, and he's not real sure why he's gotten these Jews all stirred up. And so he's going to get some sort of confession out of him. Military times of war. They'll do just about anything to try and get a confession out of people. If you remember during the Bush administration, they did a thing called waterboarding. There's probably some things that have been done in secret that we'll never even know. But mark my words that there have been through history terrible, terrible things done to Christians. Because even though we have no weapons of warfare, others have used carnal weapons on God's people. And as the soldier stretched him out for torture, Paul reveals his Roman citizenship. And this is important. As you look there in verse 25, as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? This is important for us to remember and to realize that even though Jesus said, blessed are ye when you're persecuted. And all those things that we read, and all the other things that our Lord has said about persecution, it does not mean that we're to stand by and just be punching bags. It does not mean that we're to stand by and get our heads lopped off if we can help it. Okay? Now, we don't ever compromise the truth, but we're to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And we see that being played out with Paul here. He understood that he had an appeal with this Roman soldier. He understood that he had, to use our words, he had some rights. As long as we have some glimmer of rights in this country, we have to use them. So if we were to take it and put it in our scenario, we ought to appeal to our citizenship here in this world however way we can. And so, if we think about our situation, we are citizens of the United States, but we also live in the state of Georgia. Now, if one of those authorities comes after us, we ought to appeal to the other to help us out. Paul was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And so, if, for instance, we find ourselves into trouble with the authorities of the federal government, we ought to know our rights as Georgia citizens. If we find ourselves in trouble with the state of Georgia, we ought to know our rights as American citizens. So I would encourage you to know your rights under both constitutions. Understand those things. Know that legally what you have going on. That's just a brief, maybe a good example, but a simple one. But understand that as we look at these things, these aren't just here for good history. Well, it is history. It's also here for our example. You see, Roman law generally protected citizens against public beatings and ensured them the right of a proper criminal trial. You know, it's a good idea to know who your sheriff is. I mean, just little things like that that can go a big way in the place where you live. Now, in Paul's situation, it's unknown how citizenship was confirmed. Maybe they had some sort, this is mind-boggling, but maybe they had some sort of an ID that they were able to carry around so that they could ID who was really a Roman citizen and who wasn't. It's kind of kind of racist, but that just seems to me like even in the Roman world that sort of thing was going on. But in verses 27 or verse 25, Paul said, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man as Roman and uncondemned?" I mean, he knew his rights. He asked this rhetorical question. Verse 26 through 28, it says, "When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, 'Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman.' Then the chief captain came and said unto him, 'Tell me, art thou a Roman?' He said, 'Yea.' And the chief captain answered, 'With a great sum obtained I this freedom.' And Paul said, 'But I was freeborn.'" Citizenship was confirmed. Now, some apparently obtained citizenship through some sort of a payment. Perhaps maybe they had to serve in the military. I don't know. But Paul says, "I was freeborn." You see, he knew his rights. He knew where he stood as a Roman citizen. You and I, we've got to understand where we stand. Yes, we need to know and be assured of where we stand in Christ. And spiritually, those things are important. But politically, we've got to know where we are. And as the landscape changes and as the laws change and all of that, we've got to understand where we are in the landscape that we're at. That's why it's important. We can't forget about the importance of all these things, right? And so We've got to spend most of our time in the Scriptures, but we can't neglect our country. We can't neglect the Constitution. We can't neglect the elections. We can't neglect voting. We can't neglect these things. We need to spend time, as much time as we can, to get to know our elected leaders. We need to get to know our rights. We need to get to know our sheriff. We need to get to know all of these people, because these things are extremely, extremely important. I mean, just like what we're seeing in Texas, local elections are probably the most important thing right now. It's not going to be, the mess we're in right now are not going to be corrected with the presidential election. I mean, eventually maybe, but it's going to start locally. And knowing your local officials is going to be where it's at. And there's a lot to be said there. Knowing your rights, definitely. I know, especially if you carry a gun, know where you can carry a gun, where you can't. Know your rights there and all those sorts of things. Because even a lot of times, police don't even know. And it can get pretty tense sometimes with those things. But know the laws. Verse 29. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was Roman and because he had bound him. The torture was called off. Okay? He had no reason to doubt Paul's claim to citizenship. And here's the other part to this. Apparently, impersonating a Roman citizen carried the death penalty. So if Paul was lying about this, it was a death penalty issue. But Paul had an unusual background. Roman citizenship was precious. And it belonged to very few. The commander had paid for his status, but Paul had acquired his through his father. And the commander was afraid because he had violated Roman law in his treatment of Paul, and he feared the consequences of his actions. You see. And that's where we're at here. The Constitution, it was intended by the founders. They were brilliant. They were brilliant men. It was intended not to try to keep us from doing a lot. It was intended to keep the federal government from doing a lot. And so when we know that and we look at those things, then we're the ones in power. And the Bill of Rights, it was intended so that we know our rights. I dare say that if more people understood the power that the people have in this country, Washington would be shaken in their boots. Indeed, we see some of that happening with Texas. The Supreme Court and all that said, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do this. And Governor Abbott said, watch me. And 25 or so other governors said, we're staying with him because he's right. We'll see how far this all goes. But that's an example of what happens whenever people stand on the Constitution. When I was growing up, there was a lot of people who thought that the Supreme Court had the final say in everything. But that's not true. It's not true at all. The states have the final say. And the Constitution gives them that. The states and the people. And so, so Paul was able to not get beat up quite so bad there. And so in verse 30, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. There was still confusion over why Paul was accused by the Jews. And so he is to be brought before the council to determine the reason. So more really next time we'll look at some of the events that take place there. Again, I don't want you to think of this as long ago history. It is that. And it's important to remember that this is a true story. This is the book of Acts is really one of the first church history books.
That's right.
There may come a time where you or me, we may get pulled before a mob or called before government leaders because of a misunderstanding or because of something we've said or something that we've done. With the riots that are happening in this country, and the government the way it is, and everyone becoming increasingly hostile towards Christianity, who knows what it might be, but one of us, sooner or later, in similar fashion. The question is, how will we act or react in those situations? Will we stand for the cause of God and truth? Will we know our rights like Paul did? These are some things to consider, really, and think about. It's a lot easier to think about them now than panic later and say, man, I wish I would have read my Bible more. I wish I would have studied more about the things of God. I wish I would have paid more attention to the Constitution when I wasn't standing here being in this courtroom with these people. Just think about these things and consider them. May God give us the wisdom and the courage to be able to just carry on even in times of trouble. And may God add the blessing.